The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 24, The Supramental Sense, continuing with this chapter, page 867. The supramental sense can act in its own power and is independent of the body and the physical life and outer mind, and it is above, too, the inner mind and its experiences. It can be aware of all things in whatever world, on whatever plane, in whatever formation of universal consciousness. It can be aware of the things of the material universe, even in the trance of samadhi, aware of them as they are or appear to the physical sense, even as it is of other states of experience, of the pure vital, the mental, psychical, the supramental presentation of things. It can, in the waking state of the physical consciousness, present to us the things concealed from the limited receptivity or beyond the range of the physical organs, distant forms, scenes, and happenings, things that have passed out of physical existence or that are not yet in physical existence, scenes, forms, happenings, symbols of the vital, psychical, mental, supramental, spiritual worlds, and all these in their real or significant truth as well as their appearance. It can use all the other states of sense consciousness and their appropriate senses and organs, adding to them what they have not, setting right their errors, and supplying their deficiencies. For it is the source of the others, and they are only inferior derivations from this higher sense, this true and illimitable samjana. The lifting of the level of consciousness from the mind to the supermind, and the consequent transformation of the being from the state of the mental to that of the supermental purusha, must bring with it, to be complete, a transformation of all the parts of the nature and all its activities. The whole mind is not merely made into a passive channel of the supermental activities, a channel of their downflow into the life and body, and of their outflow or communication with the outward world, the material existence. That is only the first stage of the process, but is itself supramentalized along with all its instruments. There is accordingly a change, a profound transformation in the physical sense, a supramentalizing of the physical sight, hearing, touch, etc., that creates or reveals to us a quite different view, not merely of life and its meaning, but even of the material world and all its forms and aspects. The supermind uses the physical organs and confirms their way of action, but it develops behind them the inner and deeper senses which see what are hidden from the physical organs and farther transforms the new sight, hearing, etc., thus created by casting it into its own mold and way of sensing. The change is one that takes nothing from the physical truth of the object, but adds to it its supraphysical truth, and takes away, by the removal of the physical limitation, the element of falsehood in the material way of experience. The supramentalizing of the physical sense brings with it a result similar in this field to that which we experience in the transmutation of the thought and consciousness. As soon as the sight, for example, becomes altered under the influence of the supramental seeing, the eye gets a new and transfigured vision of things and of the world around us. Its sight acquires an extraordinary totality and an immediate and embracing precision, in which the whole and every detail stand out at once in the complete harmony and vividness of the significance meant by nature in the object, and its realization of the idea in form, executed in a triumph of substantial being. It is as if the eye of the poet and artist had replaced the vague or trivial unseeing normal vision, but singularly spiritualized and glorified, as if indeed it were the sight of the supreme divine poet and artist in which we were participating, and there were given to us the full seeing of his truth and intention in his design of the universe and of each thing in the universe. There is an unlimited intensity which makes all that is seen a revelation of the glory of quality and idea and form and color. The physical eye seems then to carry in itself a spirit and a consciousness which sees not only the physical aspect of the object, but the soul of quality in it, the vibration of energy, the light and force and spiritual substance of which it is made. Thus, there comes through the physical sense to the total sense consciousness within, and behind the vision a revelation of the soul of the thing seen, and of the universal spirit that is expressing itself in this objective form of its own conscious being. There is, at the same time, a subtle change which makes the sight see in a sort of fourth dimension, the character of which is a certain internality, the seeing not only of the superficies and the outward form, but of that which informs it and subtly extends around it. The material object becomes to this sight something different from what we now see, not a separate object on the background or in the environment of the rest of nature, but an indivisible part, and even in a subtle way, an expression of the unity of all that we see. And this unity that we see becomes not only to the subtler consciousness, but to the mere sense, to the illumined physical sight itself, that of the identity of the eternal, the unity of the Brahman. For to the supramentalized seeing, the material world and space and material objects cease to be material in the sense in which we now, on the sense of the sole evidence of our limited physical organs and of the physical consciousness that looks through them, receive as our gross perception and understand as our conception of matter. It and they appear and are seen as spirit itself, in a form of itself and a conscious extension. The whole is a unity, the oneness unaffected by any multitudinousness of objects and details, held in and by the consciousness in a spiritual space, and all substance there is conscious substance. This change and this totality of the way of seeing comes from the exceeding of the limitations of our present physical sense. Because the power of the subtle or psychical eye has been infused into the physical, and there has again been infused into this psycho-physical power of vision the spiritual sight, the pure sense, the supramental samjnana. All the other senses undergo a similar transformation. All that the ear listens to reveals the totality of its sound body and sound significance, and all the tones of its vibration, and reveals also to the single and complete hearing the quality, the rhythmic energy, the soul of the sound, and its expression of the one universal spirit. There is the same internality, the going of the sense into the depths of the sound, and the finding there of that which informs it and extends it into unity with the harmony of all sound, and no less with the harmony of all silence, so that the ear is always listening to the infinite in its heard expression and the voice of its silence. All sounds become to the supramentalized ear the voice of the divine, himself born into sound and a rhythm of the concord of the universal symphony. And there is, too, the same completeness, vividness, intensity, the revelation of the self of the thing heard and the spiritual satisfaction of the self in hearing. The supramentalized touch also contacts or receives the touch of the divine in all things and knows all things as the divine through the conscious self in the contact. And there is, too, the same totality, intensity, revelation of all that is in and behind the touch to the experiencing consciousness. There comes a similar transformation of the other senses. There is, at the same time, an opening of new powers in all the senses, an extension of range, a stretching out of the physical consciousness to an undreamed capacity. The supramental transformation extends to the physical consciousness far beyond the limits of the body and enables it to receive with a perfect concreteness the physical contact of things at a distance. And the physical organs become capable of serving as channels for the psychic and other senses, so that we can see with the physical waking eye what is ordinarily revealed only in the abnormal states and to the psychical vision, hearing, or other sense knowledge. It is the spirit or the inner soul that sees and senses. But the body and its powers are themselves spiritualized and share directly in the experience. The entire material sensation is supramentalized, and it becomes aware directly and with a physical participation and finally a unity with the subtler instrumentation of forces and movements and the physical, vital, emotional, mental vibrations of things and beings, and feels them all, not only spiritually or mentally, but physically in the self, and as movements of the one self in these many bodies. The wall that the limitations of the body and its senses have built around us is abolished, even in the body and senses, and there is in its place the free communication of the eternal oneness. All sense and sensation becomes full of the divine light, the divine power and intensity of experience, a divine joy, the delight of the Brahman. And even that which is now to us discordant and jars on the senses takes its place in the universal concord of the universal movement, reveals its rasa, meaning, design, and by delight in its intention in the divine consciousness and its manifestation of its law and dharma, its harmony with the total self, its place in the manifestation of the divine being, becomes beautiful and happy to the soul experience. All sensation becomes Ananda. Pausing in this chapter, the supramental sense, near the top of page 871.